talk to you today about four different groups of halachas that are connected to food that grows hydroponically. I'm going to describe three different ways of growing hydroponically. I'm using that word a little broadly. We're going to talk about these four different things. Two of them we've spoken about at other venues. Two of them we haven't. We'll do all. Each of them is going to be pretty brief for each one of the topics. Okay. So, but before we get to the four topics, I'll just tell you the four topics are going to be: one's going to be about insects, one's about Shemitah, one's about brachas, and one's about mar. Okay. So before we do those, I'm just going to just give a drop of a background to me to how this industry works. Okay. To me, I see three different ways that you can grow food in a greenhouse. Okay, one is, these are my own names, I call it a covered field. Basically, someone takes his field, and instead of leaving his field exposed to the elements, like traditionally you do with a farm, he covers it up, he puts a greenhouse on top of it, he plops down a greenhouse on top of it, so he can control the environment to some extent. Okay, that has very little significance for halacha. We'll see an example where it does, but there's very little significance. It's not much different than something that just grew out as regular potatoes growing in the backyard.
Where's this cover the field?
Well, greenhouse. He plops down a greenhouse, a big glass box, plops it down.
Okay.
Second is what I call a potted plant, what we would call a potted plant, and that is he has a greenhouse, and it may or may not have a solid floor. It might be like a cement floor. It may have solid walls, like glass walls. It could have screens instead of glass walls. It could have windows that open and close, depending on how he builds his greenhouse. There's some ways to build it. But the food, is the plants that are growing are not growing in the ground. They're not growing in the soil, the surface, on the actual land itself, like in the first case. They're growing in little pots, in little trays, usually. They grow in like little trays that have, 10 little places we can grow something, and each one of them is growing a certain plant. Okay, so he's growing it in what we consider to be like a pot, a flower pot, or in a tray. Sometimes they can have hundreds of these trays, all lined up. They're all growing very nicely. But that whole system of trays is put inside of a greenhouse. And the greenhouse could be more or less solid. It could have a floor, it could not have a floor. It could have walls, it could have walls that open, it could have screen. There's different ways to do it. But what's the feature over here is that instead of it growing in the ground, it's growing in these, typically in trays, or some kind of a container that holds the food, rather than growing in the ground.
Nice as well. Yeah, nuts, it's a shein or not.
That's what we're going to talk about, whether it is or is not a shein or not.
Okay.
And the third is, what is really the hydroponics, and that means is that at some point, at the final growing, and sometimes even the beginning of the growing, the food, the plant is growing in water. What does that mean, it's growing in water? It means is the plant is sitting in some kind of material. I'm going to tell you about those materials in a second. It's in some kind of an inert material. It's growing in something that provides no nutrition to the plant. And what the nutrition to the plant is coming because this plant is sitting in water, or the roots hanging out of the bottom of this ground up some kind of material, the bottom of that is sitting in water, and the water is into the water. They put very specific nutrients. The farmer, the person who runs it, is very controlling of what goes into there to make it grow wonderfully. Okay, he knows exactly what he has to put in, but the media that it's sitting in is just an anchor. It's just to hold the plant, but it's not providing any nutrition to the plant. It's just to keep it from falling apart. It just holds it up. Okay, so sometimes those start off in a more traditional kind of what they call a nursery to get the plants growing, and then it's transferred into the hydroponics, and sometimes it grows the whole time in a water type environment. In this one, there isn't any dirt per se. It's not like even in the second one I was describing to you, it's growing in some kind of a surface, in some kind of a pot, but in the tray is filled with dirt. But in this one, it's not filled with dirt. Okay, so there's a couple of types of things. I'm going to make you from the ones from that are more to less like earth. Okay, some of the different materials they use to fill this up. One is called coconut. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing this right. Coir. I don't know if I pronounced that. C-O-I-R. Okay, which is the fibers around coconut shells. A very popular one is peat moss, or sphangum peat moss. Okay, peat moss is a plant that grows. It like grows along the surface of the earth. It's a like an earth covering that grows, and you cut that off, and you use it as the surface to hold your plant in. It's not dirt. It's something that grows, covers the ground. You harvest it, or wood fibers. There people use gravel or sand. They use something called vermiculite. I don't remember what that is now. Then there are other ones where they take materials out of the ground, minerals out of the ground, and they do things to them. Like they take clay and they turn it into something called clay pebbles. They heat it up to make this clay pebbles. Or they take volcanic ash and they make something called hydromite. Or they take chalk and they make it into a rock wall. Or there's all these different kinds of things. They take silica and make it into something called perlite. Okay, so there's all these different materials that are very much not earth. And they're meant to be just nothing. They're meant to just be able, like for example, peat moss, which is a popular one, absorbs a lot of water. So it has a feature that helps in, that's good for when you want to grow something in water, but the etzem, it's not providing any, it's not like when you put plant in, you put in rich soil that you think is going to help your plant, there's nothing to do with it. The plant, the immediate is completely nothing. Okay? The closest connection, I don't see Pliskin talking about whether these things are considered dirt or not. The closest connection, there is two halachas, it's a Gemara Chulin, two halachas about that you have to kisi hadam, you have to do it in afar. So the whole Gemara, but to tell you how do you know what is and what is not offer, with all kinds of details in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch about what makes an offer. If you follow those rules, the way I remember it, if you follow those rules, kamat, none of these things are going to be considered offer. Okay, kamat, none of them are going to be considered earth. I asked Rabbi Schwartz once about a specific one that we were dealing with, the coconut one, and he did not think that it was earth. When we looked into that one, he did not think that one was earth. Okay, so that's our introduction. Okay, so now let's go to the four different issues that we're going to talk about. The first is insects. Okay, the Rambam says in Simin Pei Dalet Halacha Vav that if a bug is born in a mushroom, then it's considered that it was born on the earth. What does that mean? Who cares if it's born on the earth or not? Because the thing is, if something is born on the earth, then it's usher automatically, and if it's born off the earth, like on an apple in my refrigerator, then it's not usher unless it cherits. Okay, it has to move around and go someplace to be usher. So the Rambam says that if it grows on a mushroom, we know in Din, is sort of considered attached to the ground and sort of not. The Rambam says we're machmir, that it's considered that it is attached to the ground, the bug was born on the ground, and therefore it's usher even if it was never cherits. Okay, so the Achronim have machlokes, what would happen, they talk about it for mushrooms, for a good reason, but it's really not only for mushrooms. They say, what happens if a bug was born on a plant grown in an utzah she'ein anakov? Okay, they talk about it for mushrooms because that's a common way to grow mushrooms. But you know, who would think if it was growing on a tomato? What happens if it's growing on a, you know, that you could buy now herbs that you grow in your own house, buy a little flower pot, you grow herbs in your house. So if it qualifies for utzah she'ein anakov, what would be if a bug was born there? Is it considered that it was born attached to the ground or not attached to the ground?
Assuming it's not sure.
Assuming it's not right. Is it attached to the ground to be usher immediately? Okay, to answer it instantly before it's ever shared. Okay, that's what I'm going to get to, an example of where it was not shared. That's what I'm going to come to. But that's what the question is. So it's a machlokes nachon. The Milchus Yaakov speaks about it. He goes back and forth. He doesn't have the issue. There's a pirush called Orach Mishar. It's a pirush on the Daki Moshe from some of the Erech 300 years ago, so an early Achron, who says they are considered attached to the ground. And Shlomo Kluger says, no, they're not considered attached to the ground. Okay, so there's this shaila that when something goes in utzah she'ein anakov, whether it's considered that it grew on the ground or not. So this that we're talking about has to do with the second way of growing things, which is when you grow it in what I call the potted plant. They grow a greenhouse which is grown in a potted plant. L'chaira, everybody should agree that if it grew not in a potted plant, but if it grew by mamash with hydroponics, it grew in a way that there was no earth that it was in, no one would think that it's attached to the ground. If it qualifies as an utzah she'ein anakov, and there was no dirt, then nobody should think that it grew in the ground. The only shaila here is because it grew in otzach in anakov, but at least it's in the ground. It's in dirt. But if it grew in ground of gravel, then l'chaira it should not be. Or something else, it should not be. Okay. So for this assumption, we're working with the assumption, there's quite a shaila. What does it take to qualify to be an otzach in anakov? I'm not going to talk about that. We're assuming that you made something otzach in anakov. Like, for example, I said to you that there are people who make herbs. You could buy a little package and grow herbs in your own house. Lots of those herbs don't qualify as utzah she'ein anakov because they drape over the sides and they might lose their status as utzah she'ein anakov. But for all our discussions, we're assuming that it qualifies as utzah she'ein anakov, and a greenhouse it tends to because of the way they make the floors also. It tends to qualify as that. Okay, but depending, we're assuming that's big shilas, what takes to qualify. We're assuming that it does. Okay. You might think, We mentioned then that you might think that this shaila is a big kula for mushrooms, because in mushrooms, in fact, the bugs that are in the mushrooms never leave the mushroom. They never leave the mushroom. And mushrooms, which is why the price can talk about it, for mushrooms grow on an Ashen Nakov. Okay, if you go to a factory, the factories are these big, huge cement buildings with no windows, no lights, no dirt, and there's mushrooms growing in them. So you would think the case that the place we're talking about is mamish the matias, that the bugs and the mushrooms never leave the mushroom and they grow in an aftershave nakam. Okay, so the problem is that is true, but the problem is the ones that grow in those kind of settings don't have any bugs in them. That's not where the bugs are. The more sophisticated ones that have these very grown very special and very nicely, those don't have any bugs. Those people inoculate their soils beforehand. They don't have any bugs in them. The ones that have the bugs are the ones that grow very backwards kind of countries, where the taka are not utter shame knuckle. The guy, the mom is just growing it on logs, just sitting in their houses or just wherever. The ones that have the bugs are not utter shame knuckle. So in theory, if there would be bugs in some of those places that are more sophisticated, we would have this hefter, but it's not such a shame. Okay? But now let's go to a regular vegetable. Okay? What happens if I have a vegetable that grew now in a greenhouse that either qualified as a mamish hydroponics, or grew in a potted plant? It grew in one of those places, and so now we have, let's think what we have. Kenzyme that is considered attached to the ground, either in the hydroponics always, or in the potted plants, it's a shiloh nachon, whether it is. So then, according to that, it'll come out that if I am not sure if it ever left Ravise, it would be a suffix. Okay, it would be awesome, a suffix, but we've a little bit downgraded the isser to be just usher from for sure. If I see a bug on a piece of lettuce, it's for sure usher. If I see a bug on this kind of lettuce, it may only be suffix usher, because I don't know if it's always been on this piece of lettuce or came from the next head over. It'll be only a suffix, which tones it down a little bit. However, there is an example of something which we know nevertheless revise, and that's a kind of bug. It's called a leaf miner. And a leaf miner, for some reason, people find a lot in celery. They don't find it a lot. The place that they find it most often is in celery, but it also grows in other other leaves also. And what it is the mother insect lays an egg inside a leaf or inside a piece of celery, but it's more dramatic when it does it in a leaf. Between the layers of a leaf and the bug, when the baby's born, instead of crawling out, it tunnels horizontally through the leaf. It stays between the two layers of the leaf. There's leaf on top and leaf above it, below it, to protect it. And it tunnels and eats its way through. And the way you know it's there, because it's not green anymore. It's eating all the insides of the leaf, leaving a top and a bottom layer, so no bugs, nobody else can eat him. But he has what to eat. He stays there for a couple of days. When he's grown enough, he pops a hole out and escapes out of the leaf. Okay, we're out of the celery.
What's the subject?
Hydroponics. So we're talking about four questions about them. We're on the first one. Okay, so this leaf miner, if the bug is still in there, we know it never left Ravise. It never left the place where it was born. It was born in this piece of celery, or this piece of lettuce, or this piece, these herbs that it grows in. It grows in some herbs, you can find them. So we know it never left Ravise. So then, if we say that it grew in a place where we know that it's an upper chain nukov and with some of those mikilim, or grew in the hydroponics that we know that it's not considered attached to the ground, it's only usher if it was sherets. We know it wasn't sherets, because if the bug is in there, it didn't leave its revise, and it would be mutter. You'd be allowed to eat that bug. Okay, so it'll turn out that if we have a place that qualifies as an upper chain nukov, and especially if we have it a place that qualifies as upper chain nukov and it's in mamish hydroponics, then we would not have to care about the leaf miners. Okay, so
here's the matzias. You could gather as many bugs as possible and sell the bugs.
There we go. Kosher bug. Right. That's good. Yes, you can if you want to get into that business. Okay. Now, I'm only bringing this out. I'm talking today about the part that has to do with the hydroponics. But we're not talking. There are two other sides that have to do with these leaf miners, which is, are they actually in the leaf? Do you have to be choshish that you see the trail of where it was? Do you have to be choshish it was actually still there? And is it matzi? Okay, those are questions we're not talking about actual leaf miner, but I'm using the leaf miner as an example to bring out this tzad l'hokol that comes from growing something in hydroponics. Okay, second topic is Shemitah. We spoke about this not too long ago, and that is it's possible that things that grow in a greenhouse, what they call a matzah menutak, that's the modern way they talk about it, to describe this, things that grow in a greenhouse may not have the dinim of shmita them. Okay? And we said there are two possible reasons. One is, it could be that otzer shein nakov, that din of otzer shein nakov doesn't apply to shmita. Usually, otzer shein nakov is considered not the ground with the raisa, but yes, the ground with the rabbanon. Kenzine, that chumra mitrabbanan doesn't apply for Shemitah. That's one side. And the second is that there's Yerushalmi that says if you're Zareya Babayas, then Kenzine there's no Shemitah. The Yerushalmi is misupik about that. So here's an example where even the first time of greenhouse, where you put a greenhouse, you just plot down a greenhouse on top of a field, might also be able to be makel. Because walls, I think Pesachim talk about having a walls, okay, or maybe talk about a roof also, I don't remember. But they say the qualifier is rare, but by it doesn't have to be a house per se. That's a certain quality. I think they say it has to be like something that would be chayv b'mezuzah, you know what I mean? But it doesn't, so it could be, even though it's going on the ground, the kula is, this is not a kula of shenakov, this is a kula of zareya b'bayis. Is it a house or is it not a house? And yeah, it could be it's a house. Even the first type of greenhouse, which grows, why don't you just plop the glass box on top of the ground, might qualify us. Okay, so some people, if you remember, there was many, many different shitas. Some people say zareya b'bayis is good enough. They say it's a something Yerushalmi, Shemitah is Rabbanu, so you could be mekel. And others say that even if that might be true in theory, zareya b'bayis is only a kula if the bias is detrimental to the growth of the plants, which would be typical in a bias. He says, but if you have a greenhouse which is meant to make the plants grow better, then that kula of zareya b'bayis doesn't apply. And there's many, many different shitas. We spoke about it, then many different shitas in the place about it. And what tends to happen there to soil is the ones that are labeled as matzah menutak for Shemitah, what they call a mahadron hefsher, tends to try to do as many of those shitas as possible. Okay, so we would accept that if they did that right. There's many different shitas about how to do it. And I don't know if it's going to come this year, but in previous Shemitahs, they actually did sell stuff in the United States, especially around Pesach time, that said on it, it would stay matzah menutak, to know that that's why they didn't consider it a Shemitah Malach. Okay. Our third thing is brachas. Okay. What bracha would a person make on something that grew in a greenhouse?
Yeah, somebody wrote an article about this for the RGJ channel.
Okay. Maybe, I don't remember.
Higher, I think.
Okay. Maybe it'll be. Okay. So
bracha on mushrooms with olives, chocolate.
I'm not talking about mushroom. I'm talking about tomato that grew in these kind of something like this. Okay. So the reasons why it should not be its regular traditional hadam that should be is because maybe if it grew in a tzuchen nakov, it's not considered to grow. Maybe not be a very pre hadam. May not be considered growing in the ground. Okay, because it didn't grow in the ground per se. It grew in a pot. It didn't grow in the ground. And that's even more so if I grew it in the mamash in the hydroponics. I grew it in the thing that's not earth at all. I grew it only in water. There's even less basis for thinking that it's adam. Okay, so it's a whole in contemporary place can have lots to say about it.
I don't know if this is shy to that, but there's a question what broccoli made on the mun. So the shalos tshuvos min hashamayim says you make a mighty lechem min hashamayim.
Right.
Well, it's not lechem, it's mun. So therefore, you know, so it's not
Hadamah. Okay, so some people say like, exactly like you said, which is, they say, Rav Osner and Rav Sternbach and Rabbi Yashiv all say is, if I'm reading them correctly, they say is, the bracha is assigned to certain foods based on the way they grow. But once the bracha was assigned to tomatoes to be a certain bracha, then a tomato is a tomato. And the bracha for tomatoes is Hadamah. And we don't care, the bracha was given hadamah because it grows on the ground. But each tomato, you don't have to look at each tomato individually. Okay, that's how a few people say. Others say, I have from a Chazanish, and from Zalman, and from Shmuel Kamnetsky, who say that no, they don't find these points to be so convincing in the first place. Forget about it. The ones I said first are saying is, yeah, it's a good point, it's not from the hadamah, but I don't care. A tomato is a tomato. And these people are saying, no, they don't find these so convincing. Itake is by Priyadama. They're not so bothered by that. Okay? But the most famous one, I should have said it first, the most famous opposite shita is the Chayadam. Chayadam is the first. I mean, he lived quite some time ago. But the Chayadam spoke about this. And he brings Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi says, Yerushalmi, it's like a line in Yerushalmi. A line is like nothing. Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yossi asked the question, Mahu Vaimra Pita Hamitz Lechman Aretz. Would you make bread that grew from wheat that was in an Arta Shein Nakav? Would you make Hametz Lechman Aretz? That's it. Just a question. So the Chayadim says, listen, it's a Suffolk in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is Mesufik, what bracha you make on it? Is it considered, so he understands it to be, the Shaila is, it's Lechem Min Haaretz, it's not coming from the ground. So he says, Yerushalmi is Mesufik about it. So since it's a Suffolk brachas lahakal, so you make a shahakal. Okay, that's what the Chayadim says. Everybody who I mentioned until now, it of course brings the Chayadim, because the Chayadim is the first, to real talk about it. I mean, he thinks Yerushalmi is the first to talk about it. So he Chayav says Mikishahaka. Reb Schwartz said that he also thinks that that's correct, that you should follow that. But as I mentioned, if you lots of other people think that you do not make Mikishahaka and you make the regular bracha you're supposed to, but I'm going to remind you that all we're discussing here is assuming that it really qualified as Atshen Nukkah. It's not automatic that everything that grows in the greenhouse is automatically Atshen Nukkah. Some greenhouses are not Atshets at all. They're just growing in the ground with a big glass box on top of them. And some of them, even though they grow in special pots and things like that, don't qualify because of the way you built them. You have to know what you're doing to make it Atshen Nukkah. So before I close this section, I'm going to just tell you over something from Rabbi Oppenheimer. He didn't say it for this specifically, but he said it to me in other contexts. But the point is correct. And the point is that the Chayotim didn't say that the bracha is shahakal. The Chayotim said is, misafik, the bracha is shahakal. He doesn't know the bracha. He says, it's Yerushalmi. He's misafik about it. So safik bracha slahakal, you make a shahakal. So he says, so Rabbi Oppenheimer says, so what happens if I eat a regular cucumber, and then I want to eat one of these tomatoes? So I ate the cucumber and I made hadamah. Do I make a shahakal when I eat the tomato? He says, no, you don't make a shahakal on the tomato now. Because Safik Brachas Lahakal says, you were already yaitse with the hadam you made on the cucumber. You're only saying, make a lower bracha because you're mesupik, so make the lower bracha. He says, but if I already made a bracha, I already made the bracha, so now Safik Brachas Lahakal says, don't make a bracha. You already did the bracha. Maybe you already yaitse, so Safik Brachas Lahakal says, don't make a bracha, rather than make the other bracha.
Eat something which is ba'adek achas u'shahakol.
No, you could, but if you wanted to make completely avoid child. But let's say you're not. I ate a cucumber so far, and I want to say, should I make a bracha on my tomato? So he says, why would you make a bracha on the tomato? So actually, what some people say when you're in this kind of a situation is you should eat the tomato first. Eat the tomato first and make a shahakol, and then eat the cucumber afterwards and make the hadam, and then you're sort of you're covered. Or do what you said, you take a cup of water, and then you know you're safe. But Rabbi Abraham is just pointing out that once I made the hadam, I don't have to say, oh, now I'm a shahakal misafik. Just opposite. The safik is sinatik. Okay, so now that comes up. It's going to lead us into our next topic. That comes up by the Seder. And that is because the Mishnah is pretty clear. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah that you don't make hadamah when you eat mar. When you eat the mar at the Seder. Okay, but some machlokes Mishnah on why you don't make hadamah. Okay, everyone agrees that you don't. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah that you don't make it. The shayla is why you don't. So some people say, well, you just made hamaitzi, because right before you eat the maru, you eat matzah. So it's, the hamaitzi covers the vegetables you can eat in the meal, so it's covered, you're okay. So of course, according to that, you wouldn't have to make a bracha on the hydroponic ones either. Everything is covered by the hamaitzi. Okay, that's what some rishonim say. And other rishonim say, no, the hamaitzi doesn't cover it. It's not considered to be something that comes part of the meal, because it's a special food. You're not eating it part of the meal, you're doing it for the mitzvah. So they say it's covered by the fact that you made hadamah a little bit beforehand when you ate karpas, it's covered by that hadamah. So that's other rishonim say like that. Okay. So that means this. So if you eat one of these a hydroponic vegetable by the Seder, so you shouldn't be worried and say, maybe I should make a shahakal, because maybe it's not covered by the hadamah from the karpas, according to those rishonim. So according to what Rabbi Abraham is telling us, you don't have to worry about that. Because the hadamah, the only reason to think about making a shahakal on this food is because of Safar Brachas Lahakal. Safar Brachas Lahakal says, I already made a hadamah, I don't have to make a bracha now. So don't say, I wasn't covered by the hadamah, because this is a shahakal. It's not a shahakal, it's a safik, and therefore you make a shahakal. So, it's a safik, if I already made a hadamah, then the safik already covered this food, and I don't have to make a new bracha. So I'm off the hook for making the bracha of that also, even according to those who shouldn't. Okay, fine. But now let's go to what led into, which is it kosher to use these kind of vegetables for mar? Okay, I was talking to you a second about the bracha on it, but is it kosher to use it for mar? So the chazan says like this. He's not talking about mar. But the chazan. What?
Hamtzvi is an interesting shaila.
Okay.
Like, what is exactly mar? And he goes through a whole list of all.
Okay, so the Chazan says like this. There's a Mishnah that says like this. The Mishnah says, you can't have matzah that's made out of tevel. That's tevel. So, frek the Gemara. The Mishnah says a long list of things that you can't make your matzah out of. One of them is tevel. Frek the Gemara, pshita. Of course you can't make matzah out of tevel, because it's not kosher to eat it. So the Gemara says the Mishnah means is, the tevel is from grain that grew in an otter chain in Akub. So it's only tevel midrabanan, because the chiyah trumas ma'isis is only drapanan. So it's only tevel midrabanan. And the chiddush mission is that even though it's only usher to eat midrabanan, still you can't use it for the matzah. You can't use it for the mitzvah. Okay, that's the chiddush of the mitzvah. So the chazan says, so you see from the Gemara, that the fact that it grew in an usher shein nukov doesn't make it not kosher for matzah. It's kosher for matzah. Just in that case, the mission has to have been tevel. But if it wouldn't be tevel, that's okay. The Gemara is not bothered. The Gemara is like very comfortable with that being used for the mitzvah. He says, so you see that matzah from that grew in Atzei Shein Nakuv is perfectly kosher for the mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with using that for the mitzvah. Okay? So that's one piece so far. That matzah you can use from Atzei Shein Nakuv. It's basically a fair shi gemara. So the question is like this. There's another gemara a few blocks later that says it's trying to figure out what maror is, what you were talking about. What is maror? Effective maror. Maybe, how do we know maror means these bunch of vegetables? Maybe maror means a certain fish that has this bitter taste. And maybe it means this other thing that's a fruit. There's a bunch of other things that are bitter that might have qualified. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be it comes from a fish. This certain fish that the Gemara had in mind. It can't be that fish because matzah and maror are compared to one another. Matzah has to be gedulei karka, and since matzah has to be gedulei karka, maror also has to be gedulei karka. Well, fish are not gedulei karka, so since fish are not gedulei karka, therefore maror, when the Torah said to eat maror, it couldn't have meant that fish because it's not gedulei karka. It's not gedulei karka. So if it's not gedulei karka, it can't be a fish. Okay, so must frankly maror maybe something else. Maror must be a bunch of choices, but this is one part of the gemara. So the question is that fakir from the Yerushalmi that we said before? I said to you, Yerushalmi before, and says, Yerushalmi is mesupik whether something that grew in Atzei Shein Nakuv could be called Barir Pri Hadama. Right? That was Yerushalmi's suffix about whether can that be considered Barir Pri Hadama. So is that not like this Bible? Because the Gemara is saying, that you're allowed to use matzah that grew in Atzei Shein Nakuv, but it says matzah has to be Gedulei Karka. In other words, matzah that grew in Atzei Shein Nakuv is Gedulei Karka. The Gemara is very. If we put the two Gemaras together, it's saying that matzah from Atzei Shein Nakuv is gedulei karka. Okay, so it is gedulei karka. So is that not like Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi says that it's not pri ha'adama. Are those opposites of each other? So the Igli Tal says, yeah. He says they're not. The Bavli is not like Yerushalmi. The Bavli's aren't going to Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi said it's misupik whether it's considered the lecha min ha'aretz is not like the Bavli. The Bavli says that matzah that grows in Atzei Shein Nakuv is considered to be gedulei karka. Okay, if we put these two gemaras together, it's gedulei karka, not like Yerushalmi. Therefore, he says, although the Yerushalmi is misupik about whether bread from Atzei Shein Nakuv is hamotzi, the Bavli is telling us that it is hamotzi, and don't worry about the Yerushalmi. Okay, so he says it's a riot from this Bavli, not like the Yerushalmi says. Okay, so that's what he brings. He says it's a riot. Okay, so that's what he holds. What about everybody else? Everybody else is comparing, is very happy with Yerushalmi, and they're not bothered by this question from Bavli. So how would they explain it? How do they understand what the Gemara means to say? So, a few choices. It could be that, obviously they're understanding that Gedulei Karka and Oretz is not the same thing. So for example, maybe Gedulei Karka means that it has to grow in soil. That gedulei karka means it grows in soil, as opposed to min ha'aretz means it's from the land, as in terra firma, the mamash, the land itself. Or maybe they say maybe it means it's not the things that grow in the ground, but gedulei karka means things that grow like plants. They grow, fish don't grow like plants, they don't, get bigger and like in the way a plant does. So gedulei karka just means it's the types of things that grow in the ground, things that are growing in a certain form, like flowers and plants, as opposed to animals that are not like that. Okay, so those are possibilities why gedulei karka has a little bit of a different meaning than from the arts. Another choice is, maybe gedulei karka is just a way to figure out what type of food is kosher for matzah and maror. But it's not to tell you that each sample has to be gedulei karka. It's just we're trying to figure out which min is kosher, so this is a min that grows in the ground. Maror and matzah grow in the ground. The fact that you found the crazy way to grow not in the ground, that's okay. But once we figure out the min, then we're okay. So the nafkamina between how I just answered those different questions is going to come out is going to be if I grow it hydroponically. Okay? If I say what I care about is I want to make sure I get the right min, because I got the right min. Whether I grew my min in the hydroponics now makes no difference. It was just a way of identifying the min. If I say it's because it's got to grow like a plant, well, hydroponics also grow like plants. They do the same thing like plants. But if I'm saying if gedulei karka means it grows in soil, as opposed to min ha'aretz means it grows in the mamash, in the land, the earth itself, well, then hydroponics is not. Hydroponics aren't gedulei karka. They don't grow in ground. Remember, they're growing in water. They're growing in sand and all kinds of funny things that are not land. So maybe you would think that if I grew hydroponics, it would not be kosher. Okay, you might think that hydroponics would not be kosher. So even though the Chazon Ish brings a riot from the Gemara, that you can grow an Atzei Shein Nakuv, but maybe that's Atzei Shein Nakuv, but hydroponics might not be good enough to be kosher for maror. So you might think that, but I think that's a mistake. I don't think that's correct. I'm going to tell you why I think that's not correct. The Gemara said that maror can't be a fish because it's got to be gedui karka. How do I know that maror has to be gedui karka? Because matzah has to be gedui karka, and they're compared to each other. Okay, who told the Gemara that matzah has to be gedui karka? Where does it say in the Torah that matzah has got to be gedui karka? Where did the Gemara come up with that from? Maror we learn from matzah. Okay, fine. Who said that matzah has to come from gedui karka? That's not what it says in the Torah. Torah says this, that matzah has to be something that can become chametz. A grain that can become chametz is what you make matzah out of. Okay. Who said gedui karka? Where does it say that in the Torah? So the Gemara doesn't explain itself. The Gemara just makes this assumption that it's gedui karka. So what I think what's going on in the Gemara is that the Gemara is not saying that gedui karka is a criteria for matzah. It's not a criteria for matzah. It's a feature of matzah. Lamaisa, there are only five things that become chametz. And we notice about those five things that they're all gedui karka. There's something else we know about them. They're all mine zroim, the Gemara says. We also notice that they're not. They're also nikachim the kesef meiser. Okay, there are certain features about them. No one thinks that you have to be nikachim the kesef meiser to be kosher. Of course not. It's just that there are certain features that we're noticing about them, and we say so. For the matzah, it was so to speak a coincidence that it had that feature. It happens to be the five things that are able to become chametz happen to be all grown on the ground. None of them are trees. And since it's not a tree, it can't be. It happens to be that none of them are from fruit. They're all from vegetables.
It's like in kashrus, you have a chakira, the simanim, the thing that makes it kosher.
Right.
Or is it just the
right?
Chakira?
So over here, so for the matzah, it's a feature we have to notice about it. But we have a limit that maror has to be like matzah. Right. So what for matzah is, so to speak, a coincidence. For maror is now a requirement. If matzah seems to have that feature, then maror has to have that feature. But so the gedui karka, we're not saying that matzah has to be gedui karka. Matzah happens to be gedui karka. No, if matzah happens to be gedui karka, well, maror has to be like matzah. So if matzah is only things that you could buy with meiser money, matzah is only things that grow on the ground. They're not fruits. So then that's what maror has to be also. That means it. So now, if we want to know, could we use maror that grew in Achashen and Akuv? We don't look and say, is it gedule karka? Gedule karka is not the criteria. The criteria is, if this would be, does matzah have this feature? Would this thing be kosher for matzah? So the answer is obvious. What happens if you grew grain in hydroponics? Would it be kosher for matzah? Of course it's kosher for matzah. What, you know why I know it's kosher for matzah? Could it become chametz? There's only one criteria to make things kosher for matzah. Would this grain become chametz if you left it in water for long enough? Would this grain become chametz? Of course it would become chametz. There's nothing about it. If I put wheat in hydroponics and I then later put it into water, of course it would become chametz. So matzah in this situation, this would be kosher for matzah. If it would be kosher for matzah, it's kosher for maror also. Whether it's gedule karka is not important. Gedule karka is the Gemara's description of all those things are gedule karka. They're not fish. Fish it's not, so you can't use it. But if these things would grow in a non-karka form, I can get wheat to grow non-karka, I can grow hydroponics. If I go wheat not in the karka, it will still be kosher. It'll still be kosher for matzah. Nothing wrong with that. We have a gemara that achashen akuv is kosher. So that's not the problem. It doesn't have to grow on the ground. It just has to be able to become chametz. So it can become chametz. So it's kosher. So maror who does the same thing, nothing wrong with that. So it may not be gedule karka. I don't care if it's gedule karka. It doesn't make a difference to us. So that's why even if you think that the even though the bracha might be shahakel, that has to do with how you make the bracha. But to make it kosher for matzah, in order to be kosher for matzah for maror, it has to be matzah-like. Matzah would turn into chametz if you did it under the situation, and therefore maror is just as kosher and you can use those.